This is Jean Marie Laskus with the podcast Cement City. So there's this election coming up, a big one, and one guy's been indicted. People are talking voter fraud. Democracy itself is on the line. Sound familiar? Well, this isn't that election. This one is in Denora, Pennsylvania, a dying town in the middle of nowhere, where I bought a house and stayed for 3 years. Listen to and follow Cement City, an Odyssey original podcast in partnership with Cement City Productions, available now for free on the Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Francine rocked us as a hurricane, a Category 2, as it moved ashore in Louisiana, now a tropical storm with winds up to 45 miles per hour, still moving to the northeast. I'm Scoot on the air, and we continue with our coverage of, in the New Orleans area, the aftermath of a tropical storm, Francine. Mike Dettillier, our sports analyst here on WWL, who does an awesome job, sports talk every afternoon from 4 to 8, lives down on the bayou, and Mike joins us right now early in the morning with an update on what he has seen down on the bayou. Mike, good evening. Actually, good morning.
Good morning, Scoot.
Thanks for being with us. I know it's early. Tell us what you experienced down on the bayou.
Well, you know, there's not a lot of difference miles-wise between, you know, Morgan City, Houma, and where I live at in the central part of Lafourche. So, you know, it came in right below Terrebonne, and Scoot, you know, every one of these storms, and I've lived here all my life, a couple of different places on the bayou, but to get a storm surge over 10 feet as it entered Louisiana in Terrebonne Parish, that surprised me. You know, with a Category 2, and, you know, it didn't stay too for long, but that's only happened a couple times in my lifetime. They've had over a 10-foot tidal surge, storm surge for a storm. And one of the crazier ones was Hurricane Rita, and that hit in Lake Charles. But that was a big storm, and it pushed all that water up into the bayous and canals. And it had a tidal surge here on the bayou over 10 feet. And yesterday, we saw it again. The intensity of the storm surprised me because from 4:45 to 6:30, where I live at in the central part of Lafourche, I got almost 7 inches of rain.
Wow!
And it came down, and I would say the winds was high 70s, upper in the 80s part, but it surprised me with the intensity of the storm that it came in. And again, I'm not that far from landfall, so to speak, only probably 45, 50 miles. So I knew if we were getting it here like that in the central part of Lafourche, I've been told that probably in Thibodeau, in parts of Thibodeau, in Chack Bay, and in Morgan City, flooding occurred because they got over 8 inches of rain in a similar time frame. And if we were getting that here, you could see what had happened in Jefferson Parish was not a real surprise, and they caught it also right after us. So it was a much more intense storm than I thought I'd witness here, and it's rare for me to have water in the front of my property.
Yeah.
Probably in a 5-year frame, I might see it twice, maybe three times. I saw it yesterday. I mean, it came down, and it really came down in a short period of time when it did. And it was a strange storm, and they all have, you know, Class A personalities. They do what they want to do.
Yeah, that's right. You know, it's interesting that this storm was downplayed in a lot of ways because it wasn't as strong and serious as it could be. We weren't even sure if it was going to be a Category 2 when it reached the shore. But it seems like it was the rain more than the wind, some damage from wind, but much more the rain and the flooding that was the biggest issue.
Yeah, I would agree with you. I haven't been all around, but from a structural standpoint, you know what? This storm sort of reminded me of Hurricane Zeta, which came in late October of 2020, and it kind of cut across Terrebonne Parish into Lafourche Parish, and it was a front-loaded storm, meaning if you got the wind and the rain, it was on the front end. You got very little on the back end, and that's exactly what happened to us on that part. But and the flooding, because that's not what we was. But anybody who lives down here, you understand that that potential to happen. And talking to Chris Franklin, just day before yesterday on Sports Talk, and when he came on, and I asked him about the tidal surge, he thought it probably at the highest maybe 8 foot. You get over 10, and the rain totals were not nearly what we got in here. But it goes to show you getting involved in, you're in the line of fire under that cell that pours that rain in that one area. Man, you could have get it. And we saw it here on the bayou, certainly in St. Charles, St. John, and in Jefferson. They got that same little cell that really stuck over them, and it came down extremely hard in a very short period of time. And there's no pump that can pump that out.
Yeah, that's right.
There's no pump made that can do that.
No, that's right. And as easy as it is to get angry with those who are involved with the pumps and the pumping system, in this particular case, it's really not their fault. Mike, you know, it's going to be a nice weekend. This, even if some people are still without power, they're going to find a place to watch the Saints game. And the Saints game this weekend is something to look forward to. Saints in Dallas against the Cowboys. How much has this storm interrupted the Saints' practice schedule? Are they going to be at a disadvantage going against Dallas?
Man, I think about it because, you know, LaFouche, I think it hurt Archie Chasson, who's our president here in LaFouche. He said about 75% of LaFouche Parish is without power. And I'm fortunate how the commercial is when the lights go out, Craig's comes on. So Craig's generator that I got from him a year or so ago, it has worked. But that's always distractions in life. And it's how you handle it, Scoop. And I think a lot of that has to do with team leaders, guys on that team that say, okay, we understand there's distractions involved here, and we handle it the best we can. But there's a game to be played Sunday, and let's handle our business there. Because the best thing we can do, and maybe psychologically after people have went through this, let's go out and win this game. You know, let's give them a little joy after, you know, a day, and the aftermath's going to take a lot longer than that to come back. Let's give them a little joy with this. And I know when Ida passed years ago, Sean was like that. He had moved the team to Dallas, and then they had to play in Jacksonville in game one against the Green Bay Packers and ended up with a W there. And yet, you know, the day before, LSU went to Los Angeles, played UCLA, and they got crushed in that game. It's how you handle the distractions. And that has to fall upon the team leaders out there to get the younger players to understand that this is your job, it is business, and we understand you got distracted a little bit. But the best thing you can do for this community and for us, go out there, play hard, and let's win the game.
Well, you know, Mike, the national announcers will talk a lot about the Saints' disadvantage. There'll be a lot of talk about Francine, and there'll be scenes of Francine. And so the whole nation, or those who are exposed to the game, at least regionally, are going to hear all about the interruption of the schedule with the Saints because of Hurricane Francine. And that's going to cause a lot of people to pull for the Saints. And, you know, let's hope that they rise to that occasion, because going to Dallas to play the Cowboys is a disadvantage enough, an interruption in a schedule. You don't need any disadvantages going to Dallas to play the Cowboys.
Yeah, the Cowboys are tough enough. But, you know, we've seen, you know, different reactions, Scoot, and I think that's just human nature of how we all handle it in this spot. And I do think for any football team professionally, you can say, well, the coaches take over or whatever. I think this really lies in the hands of the players. And you always have four, five, six team leaders that, you know, can get others to understand what this is all about. And most of the time it's guys that have kind of been through the football wars, so to speak. And they try to get that through to younger players on this team that there is nothing you can do at this time other than go play. Yeah. Just go play. And you can give this community and the Houdat Nation, you know, a little bit of joy for a short period of time. And I know that's how it was, you know, with Ida, with Hurricane Ida, that situation there. You know, and going to Jacksonville, you talk about distractions to leave New Orleans, to go to Dallas, then fly to Jacksonville, and the Packers had Aaron Rodgers back then in game one and ended up winning that game. And, you know, that was the talk for days afterwards. It was sort of the distraction of life. And I think that's what sports is all about. It gives you joy, and it's a little bit of distraction away from, you might say, the real world.
Yeah, and I think what you're talking about is the factor that emotion plays in any sport. And I can't help but think back on the 1980 victory at the Winter Olympics in Lake Placid when our young hockey team, these were college players. It wasn't like the NHL players playing hockey at the Olympics. Professional athletes didn't participate in the Olympics then. And we beat the Russians. I mean, a team that, you know, would be like, you know, the best NFL team, the most powerful NFL team at the time, and you had to look at the emotion of the Team USA, and that's what led them to that victory. So emotion does play a big part in sports.
No question about it. I always think about that game, and that really was not shown at the moment it got played. It was delayed. You could have heard it on the radio, but you couldn't see it on TV because it was delayed a couple hours. And so you knew what was going to happen, but my thoughts always come to that. Just think the pressure the Russians had to go back home. Okay. You lost to a bunch of college kids. You had beaten NHL all-star teams and teams that were in the NHL that were the champs. And you take on a bunch of college kids and you got beat. And you don't think you had some pressure to go back to Russia after that?
Well,
oh, man.
As bad as
that was a lot.
As bad as that pressure would have been, though, Mike, I would have rather gone back then than gone back if Putin was president. That happened.
But that brought so much joy, and it kind of brought you together in a difficult time in the country when, you know, there were so many different things. And unemployment, inflation, and the malaise part is absolutely correct. And I do think it played a part in kind of giving us a little bit of something to pull for. It was the distraction of life.
Yep.
And I think, you know, we all emotional and we all have feelings towards certain things. But I think for any professional team who goes through these sort of events, one way or another, I think it's how you handle it, and even companies, you know, same thing there, of how they handle certain things. I think for us down here, most of us have been through, you know, hurricanes, and we in that cycle of getting them like probably never before in our lifetime of how we handle it. But this is the first one post-Ida. And so, you know, we've had floods, certainly in the areas since, and now this growing kind of run with tornadoes that happen. Where, man, us growing up, you know, where you grew up and I grew up, you hear about tornadoes other than in the Midwest?
Right. No, no.
We didn't hear about that down here.
No, tornadoes didn't hit Harvey.
Yeah. And so we in a weather cycle now that you better get used to it, and you can't really prepare for the tornado. You can prepare a little bit for the hurricane, but these are all schizophrenic type A personality storms when they're out there. And even something like this that blew up quickly, and you just think, had they not had the wind shear to this storm, school, we'd have been probably talking about a Category 3 storm.
Yeah, it would have been a lot. There were some things that happened that made it less of a threat than it could have been. Mike, I'm glad you're okay. I appreciate you taking time to be with us in this early morning hour. So get some sleep. And I also enjoyed the conversation about the Saints, and it gives us something to look forward to. And those who don't have power, they're going to find a way to watch the game on Sunday afternoon. Hey, maybe they'll even have power between now and then.
Well, hopefully so. I do remember for Zeta, it was like 48 to 60, 72 hours. It was in a 2 to 3 day frame for a lot of people. So hopefully that'll happen again, and I'll be able to get that power restored. Hey, give those guys tremendous credit. Yeah. I mean, you might be upset that you don't have it today, but for them, you got to understand, for them to redo that power so quickly, that's remarkable. Those are the real MVP linemen in our area.
Boy, that's
the guys that pull with that pole.
That's right. NFL and college football analyst from WWL Sports Talk, Mike Dottiglie. Thanks for being with us. I'm glad you're okay, Mike. Get some sleep.
Thank you, Scoop. Appreciate it, bud.
All right, I'm going to get to some of your text messages. If you want to join us, the Oakenhart Jewelers talking text line is 504-260-1870. 504-260-1870. 4:23 in the morning. We're continuing to talk about Tropical Storm Francine now. The New Orleans area is calm. To the south of us, it's calm. But when the sun starts to come up, people will assess the damage. There's a lot of flooding in Metairie and in Jefferson Parish. And I know earlier there were major flooding areas in uptown New Orleans. I hope that the pumps are catching up with all of this and the water is starting to recede. If it's not receding, at least look at the positive aspect. It doesn't seem to be getting any worse or creeping any closer to your home. So if you're okay, hopefully you're okay. And for those of you without power, we're happy to be your connection with the real world. I'm Scoot on the Air, and we'll be back on WWL.
This is Jean Marie Laskus with the podcast Cement City. So there's this election coming up, a big one, and one guy's been indicted. People are talking voter fraud. Democracy itself is on the line. Sound familiar? Well, this isn't that election. This one is in Denora, Pennsylvania, a dying town in the middle of nowhere, where I bought a house and stayed for 3 years. Listen to and follow Cement City, an Odyssey original podcast in partnership with Cement City Productions, available now for free on the Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Well, the storm for New Orleans has ended. We're talking at this point about the aftermath of Tropical Storm Francine, still with 45-mile-an-hour winds, but it's to the northeast of New Orleans and heading to the northeast at about 12 miles per hour. I'm Scoot on the Air. I'm glad you're with us. I hope you're doing okay. If you're without power, I'm sorry you're dealing with that. It is so inconvenient, but it's not as stifling hot as it has been other times when you've lost power during a hurricane. So that is some positive news. It's going to be a little uncomfortable during the day, of course, and the next couple of days, if you don't have power, it's going to be in the mid to upper 80s, which is warm, and it's going to be uncomfortable inside. But the nights are going to cool off, so that's going to bring a lot of relief. And one of the toughest things is sleeping when it's hot, and hopefully you can all get a good night's sleep, because you know, one of the most difficult aspects of dealing with problems is just being tired and being sleepy. And having rest is just an important asset for every human being. Earlier in the evening, in fact, I guess it was really in the morning, news anchor Ian Ozan had a conversation with Cynthia Lee Shang, who it seems like is just never asleep. But we want to replay this conversation because there's good information from all of you in Jefferson Parish.
Jefferson Parish officials have already begun hurricane assessments following Hurricane Francine. Parish President Cynthia Lee Shang joining us. Parish President, it's been a long night for you. Where are you right now, and what's the latest?
I've been for the past couple hours on the East Bank. I actually rode out the storm on the West Bank, but we knew many of the issues were on the East Bank in terms of flooded streets and overtopped canals and actually residences taking on water, you know, in the structure. So I wanted to get out here as soon as I could. And, you know, unfortunately for Kenner, I think they took it the worst for the East Bank, much worse than the West Bank and much worse than other parts of Metairie. It's Kenner that still has standing water in the roadway. I just got off the phone with Chief Keith Conley and Councilwoman Rita Bohannon, they're still out on the street. So it kind of really took it tough.
Is that a case of drainage not working or just a matter of too much rainfall in a short amount of time?
Well, we had a couple of pumps that were offline, but I mean, you have to put that in perspective of having 194 pumps throughout the parish. We did have a couple of pumps that were offline. When I say that, maybe, you know, out of 10 pumps at Elmwood pumping station, we had maybe 8 that were working and two were not working. By 10:30, we had 9 out of 10 working. So I think when I spoke to the chief, and we'll look at rain totals, I think that storm held over Kenner and just dumped a lot of water on there. So we're averaging, we think, 7 to 9 inches on the east bank. Compare that to the west bank with only 5 inches, right? So 7 to 9 inches average on the east bank, but some areas of the east bank, almost 11 inches. I would not be surprised if, you know, Kenner just took a lot of rainwater during the storm. And as I said, the chief said it just kind of hung over Kenner for a long period of time.
You mentioned Metairie fared better than Kenner. What kind of damage did you see there?
Well, I mean, when you look around, you don't see what you would, other than the standing water and the flooding, and we do have a lot of flooded structures, you don't see the debris, you don't see the hanging gutter cans, you don't see all the mess that you see after a hurricane, right? So we don't believe, you know, this wasn't a major wind event. This was a rain event. This was a flooding event. So that was different. Now, the West Bank, we had hardly any issues. So every hurricane's different. You know, this one brought rain, flooding, and sewer issues for us. And that's something that we still deal with. I explain it to people. We're pumping all through the night. And when I saw pictures of the East Bank, and then I drove to the East Bank a couple hours later, it was vastly different. So all the pumps are working throughout the East Bank. I'm getting word all different parts of the East Bank water is receding. So that's good. The pumps are working. They'll be working throughout the night. Now, different from the sewer system where we need the light of day to go out and start working on the sewer system. The sewer system took on a lot of storm water that is not supposed to happen. And we need time to get out there with our vacuum trucks, with our portable generators, if they don't have electricity, or if the pump blew out, with our temporary pumps. We have over 500 lift stations throughout the parish and five regional on the East Bank and 5 regional ones on the West Bank. So we need the light of day, and our crews are ready to go out as soon as they can to start working on the sewer issues. But the message there is still to conserve water. Let's not put more water in the sewer system. When I mean that, it's the water in your house. So you know, the toilet flushing, taking your shower, taking your bath, washing your dishes, you know, all that kind of stuff. Dishwasher puts out sewer water. So we really need people to conserve water.
How long will it take for crews to repair the sewer problems once daylight hits?
I'm going to know more tomorrow when we get out to the street and we can kind of see where the water is. And I'm going to give a briefing tomorrow. But I think I need our crews out there a little bit. We did have an emergency contract that we triggered. And I think we're going to need to, you know, discuss with those people and just kind of see how this is going to go. So we'll give you another briefing tomorrow. But right now, obviously, the message is to try to, you know, conserve water still.
West Bank, you mentioned, didn't get much damage. Is it operating as normal over there, or are there some hiccups as a result of the hurricane?
No, I think largely the West Bank was spared. We did not have many issues at all.
That's good news there. You mentioned a briefing.
That's good news.
You mentioned a briefing tomorrow. Any idea what time that briefing might happen?
No, I need to get through the day and see, you know, what the day looks like. But we will be giving a briefing tomorrow at some point. We'll let you know.
Excellent. Anything else that we may have missed that you want to cover?
No, I've been saying it all day. You know, there's still standing water in the streets in Kenner. The canals are still high throughout the East Bank. So please give us the time, give the energy crews the time, the utility companies the time, and give us the time for all our public works crews to, you know, to get out there and make it safe for you.
Jefferson Parish President Cynthia Lee Shang joining us. President Shang, it's been a long day and a long morning so far for you. Hopefully you're able to get some rest as we head into daylight.
Almost 24 hours. I haven't done that since I was in college, I think. So it's been a long day.
Well, you've managed it well, and we thank you for taking a little bit of time at this early hour to give us an update on what's going on in Jefferson.
Okay, thank you. Thank you for getting the message out.
All right, that's Ian Ozan, WWL News anchor, talking to Jefferson Parish President Cynthia Lee Sheng. She said she worked 24 hours back in college. I don't remember ever working 24 hours. I've partied 24 hours, but that's a story for another show. I'm Scoot on the air. I'm glad you're with us. I'm glad you're tuned in. I hope you got some sleep, or I hope you're able to get some sleep soon, because it's really important to get some sleep. The sun's going to be coming up soon. We're going to know a lot more. What we heard from Cynthia Lee Sheng is that basically the West Bank of Jefferson Parish was spared, and that really is great news. But there's water in Kenner. I'm sure there's water in other places, but from what I can tell, the water should be receding. I got a text from the owner of International Market. I'm doing commercials now for International Market. It's really a really interesting place. International Market is like shopping in another country, and it's just off of Veterans. Turn on Richland. It's right behind the Peretti dealerships at 3940 Barron Street. But this message from Hiren says, good morning. I just wanted to update you. I was trying to get home from the warehouse just now, and it took me over an hour. Power, Williams, and Loyola from the interstate have high water, and you can't get across them. All right, so that's Power, Williams, and Loyola from the interstate. High water, you can't get across them. I finally went down West Esplanade to get home. It was clear all the way from Clearview, just in case people are trying to get to the other side of Kenner. Irene, thank you very much for that update. And that's somebody who was obviously working late to make sure that supplies and everything is ready. And I'm sure we're going to see businesses opening up. There's no reason for businesses not to be opening up unless they have flooded. But we'll see businesses opening up really throughout the greater New Orleans area. And those businesses that can open down in the Bayou and Terrebonne and Lafourche Parish, areas that were even hard hit, they should be opening up as well. So yeah, that's going to be good news. If you're going to be going out to get supplies, especially those of you who are without power, just be patient and be patient with the retail workers. You know, they're there, they're doing their job, and I know you're frustrated, and I've gone without power. I know what it's like. We've all been in these situations, and I know how difficult that is. I know how frustrating it is. If you've got water in your home, you know, I've never had that happen to me, but that doesn't mean I can't totally understand and appreciate what you're going through and what you have to deal with. I mean, it's your home, and some, you know, precious things might have gotten destroyed. Hopefully you've got everything, you know, lifted up, but you've got the aftermath of the water in your home. And man, that is that's a problem. I mean, there's construction that needs to be done. There are things that are going to take time to be fixed, and your home is going to be unsettled. And I can imagine how difficult all of that is. But just know that many of you have done this before. You hate that you have to do it again, but you're going to do it again, and you're going to get through it again. And so at this point, Hurricane Francine is a memory already. And just try to have as positive attitude as you can when it comes to getting things back to normal. And just take it one day at a time. Don't project into the future about how long it's going to be before things get fixed. Just take it one day at a time. If you want to join us with a comment, I'll get to more of your text messages coming up. The Oakenheart Jewelers Talk and Text line is 504-260-1870. Now, I know this is not for those of you who were flooded, but this is for those of you who have just dealt with the rain. And sometimes rain can be really inconvenient, but I've got a positive song from Luke Bryan that reminds us. I'm sorry. Luke Bryan. A positive song about the positivity of rain. All right, now, this is not for those of you who were flooded, because rain ain't a good thing. But overall, there's some positive things about rain. I'm Scoot on the air, and we'll be right back with our coverage of the aftermath of Hurricane Francine on WWL. And for those of you who are riding out the storm, Francine, I hope you did okay. We're still, talking about the flooding in Kenner and flooding around the area and the power outages. We have a call into Energy, and they're trying to find somebody to talk to us. This is a priority. We've been trying to get Energy on for the last hour. As soon as they can get somebody, we're going to put them on the air right away, because a lot of you want to know about the power outages, and you want to know if Energy's out there yet starting to work on that, or if there are any estimates on when you're going to get the power back. So we'll have all of that coming up. I'm Scoot on the air. I'm glad that we can bring you this continuing coverage of Hurricane Francine, which is now a memory for the New Orleans area. Phil Grisby is with the National Weather Service, and Phil joins us on WWL. Good morning, Phil.
Yeah, good morning.
So let's talk about Francine right now. Where is she, and how strong are the winds?
So Francine is pushing off to the north, moving into Mississippi at this time, and it looks like the winds are continuing to decrease. It's down to 45 miles an hour, and it's going to continue to pull away this morning, and so we'll continue to see improving conditions across all of southeast Louisiana. The winds will continue to die off. The rain, any lingering rain, will come to an end, and we'll see actually sunny skies coming out by late morning and in the afternoon hours.
Well, it's going to be amazing, the change in weather. And for those who are without power, at least the temperature is not stifling hot at night. And so often that's the case, but that's not the case right now.
That's correct. Yeah, the temperatures are quite mild because of the rainfall that we had. They're only in the low 70s right now, which is really nice. So, yeah, we don't have that extreme heat. And even during the day today, the temperatures are only going to get into the mid-80s, like about 84 degrees. So it won't be that extreme stifling heat even afterwards for people that may not have air conditioning or anything like that. And with the breeze, you know, open the windows, and it'll be at least somewhat comfortable.
All right, Phil, this has been an interesting storm since its inception, and every storm has its own personality. You know, on the weather map, when you see the radar, it looks like a giant amoeba that I remember from studying in biology. And they have their own personalities. From its inception, and all of a sudden, the targeting of the Louisiana coast and New Orleans was a surprise. And then the jagging, the waffling of this storm as it approached New Orleans was interesting, too.
Yeah, so this storm was actually transitioning to what we call extratropical phase, and it's actually still doing that, and that's what drove some of the changes in behavior as it approached the Louisiana coast yesterday, and that was due to another system that was coming in from Texas that was producing a lot of what we call wind shear across the storm. And as we all know, wind shear, that impacts hurricanes and weakens them as they move in. It did reach peak intensity to Category 2, 100-mile-an-hour winds right at landfall, but then it began to weaken rapidly as it moved inland. And the center of circulation actually reformed three different times while it was experiencing that wind shear as it moved across southeast Louisiana. And so that's why there kept being these wobbles in the tracks and all that. And now they're really isn't a well-defined center of circulation per se. It's more just a broad area of low pressure as it moves up into Mississippi this morning. So yeah, kind of a unique system for this area.
And so, Phil, we're going to see sunshine later this morning.
That's right. Yeah. Yeah. We should see some drier air wrap around, and that should help clear out the skies. And it looks like it's going to be sunny by late this morning and definitely by this afternoon. And that's great for everybody as we, you know, recover from the 6 to 9 inches of rainfall that fell across the South Shore and then the strong winds that we had last night, you know, 60 to 70 mile hour winds. So,
Phil Grisby, National Weather Service, thanks for your time and thanks for the information.
Yeah, absolutely. Everybody, right. Good luck with all the recovery out there today.
All right. Thanks, Phil. Yeah, that's where we are right now, just recovering from the storm. Miraculously, some people are not without power. Let me get to a couple of these texts. This text says, hey, Scoot, I live near the fairgrounds. My back door was open all day through Francine with no rain coming in. I wouldn't have believed it if I didn't see it. And no power outage, no power loss either. So here's somebody who did not lose power. Here's a text listening now on radio in Monroe, Louisiana. Well, in Monroe, you're pretty safe, high and dry there. But thanks for tuning in. And for those of you, you know, listening outside of the New Orleans area, you know, I know it's a business as usual for you and there are other things on your mind. What we're going through is just, it's the common denominator here is human struggle. And there's something about us, particularly in America, when there's human struggle, you know, we bond together and we bond with this. And even though many of you are not impacted by this storm at all, you have empathy for what we're going through. And it also maybe causes you to take a look at the blessings in your life that you're not dealing with this. And maybe understanding what many people are going through in this area will cause you to put into perspective some of the problems that you have. You know, we've all got our problems, but sometimes we make our problems seem bigger than they really are. And when you hear about a storm like this and you hear about what people are going through, maybe it makes you feel a little bit more blessed because some of the things that you're dealing with might not be so bad. Again, one of the most inconvenient things about any storm is being without power. A lot of people are without power. Again, as soon as we can get energy on the air, and we're trying to get them on the air as soon as we can, they really should be available, and I'm sure they will be soon. We need to find out information for you. I know it's early in the morning. It's almost 5 o'clock in the morning, and you've just heard from the National Weather Service, we're going to see sunshine later this morning. And, you know, we've got a lot to look forward to this weekend. LSU, Tulane, and the Saints are all playing. All of them have tough games. And we talked to Mike Dettillier, a sports analyst for Sports Talk here on WWL. And I asked Mike about anything that the Saints have had disrupted in their schedule. And he said, you know, Scoot, sometimes when a team is disrupted, sometimes it causes them to really bond together. And when Ida hit, Sean Payton moved the team to Dallas, and they had to go fly and play a home game against the Packers at Jacksonville because they couldn't get in here and do it. And that's my recollection of all of that. And you know what happened? The Saints won. And so Mike Dettillier is talking about the possibility that, you know, this is going to give an added incentive to the Saints against the Cowboys, that subconsciously these guys might want to just give this victory to all of you who are suffering. And believe me, when you go against the Cowboys in Dallas, you need every advantage you can get. So maybe the Saints have a really great emotional advantage because of the disruption in schedule because of Hurricane Francine. All right, I'm Scoot. We will come back with more. You know, nobody sings about stormy weather better than the incredible Etta James. And for those of you who feel like, you know, your life's not together because of the disruption, you know, you're right. It's not together right now, but you're going to get it together and we're going to be okay. I'm Scoot on the air, and we'll be back with our continuing coverage of the aftermath of Hurricane Francine on WWL. All right, here's a text that says, Scoot, I'm in law enforcement, and I have been out and about, and I haven't seen any energy crews out working thus far. I'm looking at the weather conditions right now, 73 degrees and cloudy in New Orleans, and the winds are at 17 miles per hour. Now, we have heard from energy that once the winds are below 30 miles an hour, they go out. Don't they go out when it's dark? I don't know that they only go out when it's light. I'm not sure about that. We still have a call into energy. I'm not sure why they're having a difficult time finding somebody to talk to us. But as soon as we can get somebody from energy on the air, we will, because I know a lot of you have questions about what are you doing to get our power back? And do you have any estimate in terms of what time the energy is going to be back? So we're going to get that information for you as soon as we can. I'm Scoot, and we continue with our coverage of the aftermath of Francine coming up on WWL. And for those of you who are riding out the storm, Francine, I hope you did okay. We're still, talking about the flooding in Kenner and flooding around the area and the power outages. We have a call into energy, and they're trying to find somebody to talk to us. This is a priority. We've been trying to get energy on for the last hour. As soon as they can get somebody, we're going to put them on the air right away, because a lot of you want to know about the power outages, and you want to know if energy's out there yet, starting to work on that, or if there are any estimates on when you're going to get the power back. So we'll have all of that coming up. I'm Scoot on the air. I'm glad that we can bring you this continuing coverage of Hurricane Francine, which is now a memory for the New Orleans area. Phil Grisby is with the National Weather Service, and Phil joins us on WWL. Good morning, Phil.
Yeah, good morning.
So let's talk about Francine right now. Where is she, and how strong are the winds?
Yeah, so Francine is pushing off to the north, moving into Mississippi at this time, and it looks like the winds are continuing to decrease. It's down to 45 miles an hour, and it's going to continue to pull away this morning, and so we'll continue to see improving conditions across all of southeast Louisiana. The winds will continue to die off. The rain, any lingering rain, will come to an end, and we'll see actually sunny skies coming out by late morning and in the afternoon hours.
Well, it's going to be amazing, the change in weather. And for those who are without power, at least the temperature is not stifling hot at night. And so often that's the case, but that's not the case right now.
That's correct. Yeah, the temperatures are quite mild because of the rainfall that we had. They're only in the low 70s right now, which is really nice. So, yeah, we don't have that extreme heat. And even during the day today, the temperatures are only going to get into the mid-80s, like about 84 degrees. So it won't be that extreme stifling heat even afterwards for people that may not have air conditioning or anything like that. And with the breeze, you know, open the windows, and it'll be at least somewhat comfortable.
All right, Phil, this has been an interesting storm since its inception, and every storm has its own personality. You know, on the weather map, when you see the radar, it looks like a giant amoeba that I remember from studying in biology. And they have their own personalities. From its inception, and all of a sudden, the targeting of the Louisiana coast and New Orleans was a surprise. And then the jagging, the waffling of this storm as it approached New Orleans was interesting, too.
Yeah, so this storm was actually transitioning to what we call extratropical phase, and it's actually still doing that, and that's what drove some of the changes in behavior as it approached the Louisiana coast yesterday, and that was due to another system that was coming in from Texas that was producing a lot of what we call wind shear across the storm. And as we all know, wind shear, that impacts hurricanes and weakens them as they move in. It did reach peak intensity to Category 2, 100-mile-an-hour winds right at landfall, but then it began to weaken rapidly as it moved inland. And the center of circulation actually reformed three different times while it was experiencing that wind shear as it moved across southeast Louisiana. And so that's why there kept being these wobbles in the tracks and all that. And now the really isn't a well-defined center of circulation per se. It's more just a broad area of low pressure as it moves up into Mississippi this morning. So yeah, it's kind of a unique system for this area.
And so, Phil, we're going to see sunshine later this morning.
That's right. Yeah. Yeah. We should see some drier air wrap around, and that should help clear out the skies. And it looks like it's going to be sunny by late this morning and definitely by this afternoon. And that's great for everybody as we, you know, recover from the 6 to 9 inches of rainfall that fell across the South Shore and then the strong winds that we had last night, you know, 60 to 70-mile-an-hour winds. So,
Phil Grisby, National Weather Service, thanks for your time and thanks for the information.
Yeah, absolutely. Everybody, right. Good luck with all the recovery out there today.
All right. Thanks, Phil. Yeah, that's where we are right now, just recovering from the storm. Miraculously, some people are not without power. Let me get to a couple of these texts. This text says, hey, Scoot, I live near the fairgrounds. My back door was open all day through Francine with no rain coming in. I wouldn't have believed it if I didn't see it. And no power outage, no power loss either. So here's somebody who did not lose power. Here's a text listening now on radio in Monroe, Louisiana. Well, in Monroe, you're pretty safe, high and dry there. But thanks for tuning in. And for those of you, you know, listening outside of the New Orleans area, you know, I know it's a business as usual for you, and there are other things on your mind. What we're going through is just, it's the common denominator here is human struggle. And there's something about us, particularly in America, when there's human struggle, you know, we bond together and we bond with this. And even though many of you are not impacted by this storm at all, you have empathy for what we're going through. And it also maybe causes you to take a look at the blessings in your life that you're not dealing with this. And maybe understanding what many people are going through in this area will cause you to put into perspective some of the problems that you have. You know, we've all got our problems, but sometimes we make our problems seem bigger than they really are. And when you hear about a storm like this and you hear about what people are going through, maybe it makes you feel a little bit more blessed because some of the things that you're dealing with might not be so bad. Again, one of the most inconvenient things about any storm is being without power. A lot of people are without power. Again, as soon as we can get energy on the air, and we're trying to get them on the air as soon as we can, they really should be available, and I'm sure they will be soon. We need to find out information for you. I know it's early in the morning. It's almost 5 o'clock in the morning, and you've just heard from the National Weather Service. We're going to see sunshine later this morning. And, you know, we've got a lot to look forward to this weekend. LSU, Tulane, and the Saints are all playing. All of them have tough games. And we talked to Mike Dettillier, a sports analyst for Sports Talk here on WWL. And I asked Mike about anything that the Saints have had disrupted in their schedule. And he said, you know, Scoot, sometimes when a team is disrupted, sometimes it causes them to really bond together. And when Ida hit, Sean Payton moved the team to Dallas, and they had to go fly and play a home game against the Packers at Jacksonville because they couldn't get in here and do it. And that's my recollection of all of that. And you know what happened? The Saints won. And so Mike Dettillier is talking about the possibility that, you know, this is going to give an added incentive to the Saints against the Cowboys, that subconsciously these guys might want to just give this victory to all of you who are suffering. And believe me, when you go against the Cowboys in Dallas, you need every advantage you can get. So maybe the Saints have a really great emotional advantage because of the disruption in schedule because of Hurricane Francine. All right, I'm Scoot. We will come back with more. You know, nobody sings about stormy weather better than the incredible Etta James. And for those of you who feel like, you know, your life's not together because of the disruption, you know, you're right. It's not together right now, but you're going to get it together and we're going to be okay. I'm Scoot on the air, and we'll be back with our continuing coverage of the aftermath of Hurricane Francine on WWL. All right, here's a text that says, Scoot, I'm in law enforcement, and I have been out and about, and I haven't seen any energy crews out working thus far. I'm looking at the weather conditions right now, 73 degrees and cloudy in New Orleans, and the winds are at 17 miles per hour. Now, we have heard from energy that once the winds are below 30 miles an hour, they go out. Don't they go out when it's dark? I don't know that they only go out when it's light. I'm not sure about that. We still have a call into energy. I'm not sure why they're having a difficult time finding somebody to talk to us. But as soon as we can get somebody from energy on the air, we will, because I know a lot of you have questions about what are you doing to get our power back? And do you have any estimate in terms of what time the energy is going to be back? So we're going to get that information for you as soon as we can. I'm Scoot, and we continue with our coverage of the aftermath of Francine coming up on WWL.
I'm Jean Marie Laskus. I'm a journalist. I spent my career helping Americans understand the lives of other Americans. Coal miners, gun shop clerks, staffers in the White House mailroom. In my new podcast, Cement City, I tell the story of an entire town. A dying town that you have absolutely no reason to care about. But trust me, you will. Listen to and follow Cement City, an Odyssey original podcast in partnership with Cement City Productions. Available now for free on the Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.